You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
For those who may be unaware, could you please speak on the importance of wetland conservation, particularly in its ability to sequester carbon?
Wetlands are very diverse ecosystems. Some of them are extremely good at storing large amounts of carbon over very long periods of time, such as rain-fed peat bogs, of which some parts of New Zealand have formerly had extensive areas of these sorts of wetlands, and these are often called peatlands. And once they're drained, they become quite valuable for agriculture. But unfortunately, all of that carbon that was often stored over thousands of years is lost back to the atmosphere. And that is a real problem because soils which are used for farming, which were once in these carbon-rich wetland ecosystems, are now major sources of carbon dioxide back to the atmosphere. And we estimate that between 7 and 10% of New Zealand's entire net greenhouse gas emissions come from 1% of our soils. So that's a big problem. Other sorts of wetlands, which are the sort of lowland swamps that are often seen alongside rivers, are very productive wetlands because they are nutrient rich and they're frequently inundated by floodwater. So they tend to have indigenous New Zealand wetlands. So what these used to look like, this is where kahikatea forest would have once been, and flax swamps, which were very important to Māori as a source of food and fibre. These sorts of wetlands have also been destroyed. They tend not to have stored a huge amount of carbon just because they are so nutrient rich that there's a huge amount of turnover of organic matter. So a lot of the carbon would have been stored above ground in trees and other plants. The sediments would have been carbon rich, but they were not particularly deep. So very different to the peat bogs that I'm talking about, where peat could accumulate up to 10 or 15 metres depth over a few thousand years. So there are, in summary, there are very different sorts of peatlands that have different importance for carbon uptake and storage.
In your opinion, what policy changes are needed to prioritise wetland conservation?
The wetlands that we have left, which is only about 10% of the wetland area that was here in Aotearoa, New Zealand, when European settlement started, those wetlands have largely gone and mostly been replaced with agricultural land. And so the 10% that remain are biologically very, very important for the sort of plants and animals that rely on wetland environments. But they also have a big function to play in improving water quality. And in fact, a lot of farmers are now recreating wetlands where they used to be in the landscape, because it's now recognised that wetlands are quite incredibly good at removing nutrients from farming activities from water and reducing sediment load that can get into rivers and lakes and streams. So we're now turning to wetlands as a bit of a powerhouse for improving water quality. And so we need to be careful that we protect the wetlands that we still have left that are in more or less their natural state. I'm really concerned that in the desire to continually increase agricultural production, that some of our remaining wetlands might end up being damaged or even drained. And so I have a big concern about that. There has been a range of policies over the last 10 or 20 years with the purpose of making sure that the remaining wetlands are protected. Unfortunately, they're so fragmented out in the landscape that often the edges have been nibbled away at them, or small wetlands continue to be drained or infested with pest plants and so on. And so there has been an ongoing loss of wetlands over the last 10 or 20 years. And I'm really worried that we will continue to lose wetlands.
How have the risks and opportunities in wetland conservation evolved over time?
So in terms of the, I guess, the opportunities for wetland conservation, it's always a good time to start. So New Zealand's lost 90% of its wetlands, the estimate of pre-human wetland extent in New Zealand. What that means is that there is a large area around us, in our cities, on our farms, that can be restored, that was once wetland, and plenty of those areas will be suitable for restoring. Can it go wrong? I mean, yes, it can. We know, for example, we have invasive weeds in wetlands, so you may find in a wetland restoration that there isn't enough resources, for example, to reduce weed infestation. You may end up with vegetation you did not want to have there. That might include, for example, willows. There's quite a bit of willow invasion in some wetlands in New Zealand. Overall, though, I think the most people who I've spoken to have undertaken wetland restoration on their own land are pretty happy with the results and even surprised about how good it has been.
How do you envision the future of wetland conservation considering the current trajectory of land use and climate change?
I think we have to acknowledge that we are continuing to lose wetlands in this country, in New Zealand, and that's a bad thing both for climate change and also mitigating the effects of climate change, such as those large storm events. We need more wetlands to mitigate those, not less. I think there's been some positive change recently in terms of the introduction of the National Policy Statement Freshwater Management, and that's been focused on mapping our wetlands, and that's critical because we can't monitor and look after what we don't know exists. And also looking after our wetlands. So the National Wetland Trust has done some work on why we've been continuing to lose wetlands, even though in kind of modern times we don't go out in wholesale clear forests and we don't go out in wholesale clear wetlands, but we are still continuing to lose them. And some of the issues that was caused by is inconsistent strength of regional plans or implementation and enforcement of rules and regional plans relating to wetland loss. So that's critical. I think it's also a matter of education and getting folks to understand the benefit, like the personal benefits that you can get from having a healthy wetland on your property, while acknowledging the economic pressures on farmers, for example, with like high debt leveraging, for example, on dairy farms, and how do we encourage that? So I think part of that is education and support for the folks who are really keen to make a positive difference. And then part of that is rules and regulations, which mean that we don't have just a small minority of folks letting people down. Thinking, I guess, more specifically around peatlands, so there's been quite a lot of talk around peatlands in New Zealand. So the drained peatlands, both in New Zealand and overseas, so the drained peatlands add up to about 6% of our agricultural emissions, and the Climate Change Commission has said that this is one of the biggest emission sources that are not in the ETS. So if you get, some farmers, for example, would like wetlands to be in the NPS because then they get the credit, you know, the credit of restoring wetlands on their property. And that's great. But if we include the positive impacts of wetlands in the NPS, we also need to account for the really quite large impacts that drained peatlands are having on our greenhouse gas emissions and the status of those. And that's a particular area in the Waikato. And that's where, for example, we may need to think about a transition from current farming to maybe novel land use practices. So these emissions, these carbon emissions from drained peatlands, we can stop those by re-wetting the peatlands.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.